Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Dark Room. Today, we are discussing all things Charles Oliveira, all of Charles Oliveira's submissions. So he's got 21 on his record overall, 33 wins, 8 losses, 21 submissions, 16 in the UFC, 17 if you count the one against Nick Lentz the first time around, but of course, we're not going to count that. And I couldn't find that one either, so I can't show you that one. I'm going to go through each of his submissions one by one in order. And the reason I'm doing this is because as I was preparing the breakdown show for BT Sport, I realized that there's a lot of variety in his submission game. There are a lot of things that he does which are, you know, it's a mechanical understanding of the submission and of the human body and not a technical one. You know, he owns the knowledge of these submissions and how they work and what they're supposed to do to the human body, to the point where he can adapt them and tweak them and make them work in less than ideal scenarios. In certain circumstances where other jiu-jitsu players, other grapplers would maybe lose a position, he's able to adapt, which is why his statistics are so impressive. Okay. First one's Darren Elkins. Now, this was 41 seconds. Elkins came in, picked him up and slammed him. And as soon as he slammed him, Charles Oliveira was able to get his guard back. And what you'll see here as well is he's clamping onto this arm of Darren Elkins. Now, this footwork here is really nice. You can see he's framed on the inside. He's got like a C-cup grip on the inside of this bicep, so he's going to be pushing this away. And he's going to be doing that to create some space to bring his leg through. So here we go. Here's the push. Throws it over his knee. And then goes inside. Foot on the hip. Wrist to the hip. Throws it in. And fires it over, even to the point where he gets his hand caught. What you can see is him turn his palm towards the inside of his thigh, which, just as a minor thing, makes it a bit easier for you to remove your hand from those stuck positions when you've got gloves on. All right, then we're going to see him cinch up the triangle. So we see him go for the top of the head here. He's going to pull the top of the head down, and he's going to, so you can see at the moment, he's got his feet crossed here. You're going to see him bring this leg across and lock it down with the other one. Pulls the head down to control him while he opens up his legs. Notice how he doesn't do it until the head posture is broken. Head comes down, then the legs open. Look how deep that goes over his shoulder with that left leg. Over and cross. And it's still not ideal. There's still some adjusting to do, but now he can go back to the head and pull him down to readjust one more time. Now the foot is almost in the back of the knee, which is why he's going to go grab to the shin and pull him down a bit deeper into it. And then as he twists off to one side here, you can see how that isolates the left arm of Darren Elkins, which starts here and goes down the midsection of Charles Oliveira. And then from the other angle, there you can see what's going on. So there's the triangle there. And then this arm is being pulled through and straightened. So this elbow is being locked against this thigh, which is what Darren Elkins is feeling. That'd make more sense. He's being locked and hyperextended against this. So it's a double threat. I mean, you know, he could finish that triangle if he wants. It's deep enough. But while the arm's there and while Darren Elkins is trying to pull out, might as well just keep working on that arm. Darren Elkins falls down to the side, and then just a little adjustment with his legs. Oliveira lifts to throw his leg over, and you can see what that does to the elbow. Because he's got control of this here. As he lifts this leg up, it straightens this bend in the arm so that currently the arm is bent like that. Now, as he lifts the leg up, you can see the arm being straightened in the process. There, the arm goes straight. See how the thigh pulls the elbow into a straight position. And then the foot goes over the head for a minute, and Oliveira is driving his hips to the ceiling and pulling down on the arm. And there it is. Beautiful. Okay, number two. Efren Escudero. So, a bit of a scramble in this one. A kick catch. Charles Oliveira runs him to the ground, or runs him to the fence, sorry, bounces him off the fence and circles him to the floor. Now, Escudero is going to create space to scramble. But as he scrambles, of course, he's not going to get away from Charles Oliveira because he's an expert at taking people's back when they're trying to get away. So here we go, a kickoff from Efren Escudero. And as he sits up, Charles Oliveira is already behind him. And what you'll notice as well with this hand, pay attention to where this hand goes, because it goes between the legs of Charles Oliveira. And this is, it's not a part of the submission that Charles Oliveira wanted, but of course he'll take it. And you'll see in the finishing position the way that this arm ends up trapped inside the legs, which means that he's got only one hand to defend his neck, which is not enough. So as he sits up, the arm's gone inside the leg there. You can see how it's hooked over on this side here. That's where the arm's hooked. Oliveira's already moving around to his back. Still on that single leg, but his back's exposed. Oliveira's got a hook over the far side arm, and he's going to hop up and take his back. And you know how good he is in this position. Now, if we get over to the fence, you can see here, look, this is the arm that is trapped underneath the leg of Charles Oliveira, which leaves Efren Escudero with one hand to defend, which is just not going to be enough. And that is right across the chin. That's more of a, that's more of a pain thing than anything, I would say. Nice. Number three, Eric Wisely. The only attack on his resume that's not a neck attack, I think. Calf slicer. Calf slicer, because he was chasing an ankle and he was chasing a back, and this is a good example of him figuring things out as they flow in front of him. This is something that we see quite consistently, that kick catch, which begins the scramble, chases him to the floor. Now he's going to do a good job, and again, here he is again, controlling the ankles. He's very good at steering people's hips in these positions. He stacks over and starts to ground and pound. Now what we're going to see in a moment is we're going to see him put himself in an ideal situation as Wisely's trying to avoid this ground and pound. That's the key. That's the white flag that Charles Oliveira's feeling. He's not seeing it, of course, because it's behind him. But with these shots, and you can see him controlling the other ankle. You can see him throwing these ground and pound shots. But then that leg becomes awkwardly trapped in a position where Eric Wisely definitely doesn't want it against the grappler of this type. And what we're going to see is Oliveira is going to step up and he's going to bring his leg over and wrap. So he's isolating that leg entirely. Still keeping a control of this, bringing this leg around to clamp down onto it. And then he sits back. And this is where the leg entanglement starts. Now he's let go of the other leg because he can then go to focus entirely on the one that he wants. And Wisely does a good job of defending this. Defends. You can see Oliveira is trying to expose his heel here, tries to get a twist, and Wisely doing the right thing. As he starts to twist, he's going with the movement. Charles Oliveira stays on, starts to threaten a knee bar. So then Wisely starts to twist back, finds himself in this really awkward position where he's balanced on his forehead. Now this is where it starts to go a bit wrong for him, because there are a multitude of things that he has to be concerned with here. Of course, you know, his knee was in threat, but it looks like he's managed to clear his knee now. What he doesn't want is Oliveira to pull this leg in. So he's trying to keep his knee outside of the control of Oliveira, which is where it is right now. His knee's there. Oliveira really wants his knee here, so he's got full control over that leg so he can start manipulating it. But as he starts to move away and create space, you can see his knee's just outside. Oliveira wants this knee inside his legs, really, so he's got control of it. But he adapts it, and this is beautiful. Leaves the leg where it is, folds it across the back of his calf. Watch what he's doing with his right leg. Then he throws his other leg over the top of it. So he's closed that triangle. Just like the triangle that we've just seen against Darren Elkins, there's the triangle leg, and then that one goes over the top to lock it into place. But this time, of course, he's focused on a leg. Sits up and grabs around the waist of his opponent and pulls him back. And this is where you see where the leg's tangled. And the pain on Wisely's face as his calf slicer kicks in. So there's the triangle. What you've got to remember, though, is that there's a leg between the upper and lower part of Eric Wisely's leg. Yeah, let me show you in a different position. Here we go. Because it's difficult to understand, I guess, where this pain comes from until you've been in this position. So what we're seeing here, right, we're seeing the top of Eric Wisely's legs there, and we're seeing the bottom of his legs here, right? Let's make those two fat lumps there like that. Now, if we put Charles Oliveira, this leg here, as the cross section, which is going right in there, what you're seeing Charles Oliveira do with this part of his leg, it's quite difficult to explain, with this part of his leg, he's bringing this ankle, this heel, towards the ass cheek of Eric Wisely, at the same time as leaving this wedge right in between his legs. So, as this part here is moving to here, it's being separated at the knee. That's where the pain's coming from. Let me see if I can clean that up a little bit and make it make more sense. So there's the upper leg. There's the lower leg. That's the kneecap. That's the wedge that Charles Oliveira is putting in between the upper and lower leg, and then he's closing this ankle here towards his butt, because there's his ass and there's his foot. Is that making sense? So then ultimately what you're finding is that the top of the leg is here and the bottom of the leg is being pulled in this direction, and the kneecap is feeling like it's being separated. Now, of course, the pain isn't here. The pain is most likely around the top and the bottom here. But there will be some pain in the knee as well, because that joint is being pulled apart. It's being separated. It's a really, really unpleasant, uncomfortable position to get tangled up in. And a lot of the time, people will try and tumble and twist and try and get out of it. But when you're caught in a calf slicer, there's no denying that. I think Brett Johns has got a really good one in the UFC that's worth checking. I mean, that's just a nasty position to get caught in. I hope that made some sense. Like, you can see that pressure in the muscles here. You can see that pressure. That's the calf. That's the calf muscle just there. I mean, it's a really awkward position to get caught in. Very difficult to find yourself in this position intentionally. It's one of those circumstances where you, I mean, look at that. Like, there's the leg. It's bent right up his back now. Oh, man. My knee aches just thinking about it. Lovely submission. Circumstantial submission. One of those submissions that you find if you know it's there and if you know how to make it work. Most people would have lost that position. They would have used that calf control position to get themselves into a better position to continue attacking something a bit more orthodox and high percentage. But this is where Charles Oliveira breaks a lot of the rules. Now, we're going to go into Jonathan Brookins next. And this is where we start with the neck attacks, which for me is really the crux of his game, the best part of his game. He's got a 74-inch reach, and that additional advantage that he has in reach, which is usually 2 to 4 inches longer than his opponents, 4 inches over Makhachev, it's usually a decent reach advantage over his opponents. He does use it for his striking, but he also uses it for his submissions. Now, this is a really interesting set up here, because the way that he uses these neck attacks is quite unorthodox. Now, we've got Jonathan Brookins up against the fence, and he's being pressured, and he's going to open his guard and try and sit back up against the fence. See him slide his ass back towards the fence there? That allows Charles Oliveira to be in his open guard and then over the top of him. Because as he moves his hips back, it brings his head forward. His head's here. Big mess of dreadlocks. He's going to bring his head forward, which is going to make it more vulnerable to Charles Oliveira rapping, and that's exactly what he does. And we talk about triangles, it's what he's all about, because he's arm triangled him here. He's got his arms in a triangle here in a figure four position. Lovely work. Triangles puts his arms in a triangle, puts him in that figure four position, and then gets over his legs, falls to his back. Throws over his guard. So what we've got here is, let me find the other angle. Here we go. Here we can see him. So he's hitting with that elbow, smash elbow. Brookins has sat up, slid his hips to the fence, back to the fence. Heads forward. Head is now here, which means that Charles Oliveira has gone over the top of it. What you're going to see emerge under this armpit is the left arm of Charles Oliveira that's going to go onto the right bicep. There it is. Then he's going to circle his right arm out Let me get rid of that. Circle his right arm out and put it on the back of Brookins. So that clamps in that position there. He's clamped the glove into that position, so he's got it locked in. The rest of the arm, of course, is underneath Jonathan Brookins' head, which is now being pressured down by the body of Charles Oliveira. Here we go, one more time. Over the head, there we go, there's the wrap. The arm underneath and goes to the right bicep. And then watch the legs. Watch how he jumps over both the legs. Here we go. So he's over both the legs, pulls Jonathan Brookins towards him. And there it is. I mean, most people can't do this because their arms aren't long enough. That's the reality of it. Most people wouldn't be able to keep a good grip of their bicep with those fingers while they're trying to close their guard. But these are all those adaptations that we see in Charles Oliveira's game. And I've kind of renamed these because they make a bit more sense. This isn't a guillotine or an anaconda, really. It's kind of somewhere between the two. And there's another fight in a moment where I'm going to show you something very, very similar. We're going to keep these in chronological order, but keep that position in mind, because there is another anaconda, Peruvian anaconda necktie kind of situation that he utilizes a bit later on, which is equally as impressive. Okay, Andy Ugel. Now, I will say that Andy Ugel gave him everything he could handle in this fight. This was a third round triangle. And Andy had come through some really, really tough spots, early submissions. He defended some takedowns, and he's such a tough scrapper. Little Axe, his nickname. Anyway, nice takedown here from Charles Oliveira. Andy Ugel, of course, bossing himself into a stronger position, refusing to go to his back. So Charles Oliveira finds himself on his back in the third round with Andy Ugel in his guard. And we've seen Charles Oliveira tired before. It doesn't mean he's any less dangerous. If anything, when his opponents see that he's starting to get tired, they start to kind of think, okay, I'm starting to overcome here. And I think there was a bit of confidence on the side of Andy Ugel, because he felt like Oliveira was starting to struggle. I mean, there's over half a round left in this position here. And sure, Andy felt like he was going to be able to land some big shots. So what we see is him posturing up and starting to tie the legs up and ground and pound. But I mean, even in this very tight position here, and I wish we had a better angle of it, but we don't. In this position here, what you'll see is Andy Ugel punches himself into a triangle. Little shot from Charles Oliveira, and then falls in. So he's punched his arm into between his legs. Now he's in between the legs, but Charles Oliveira is being very sneaky about how he's locking these legs up. One leg's over his shoulder, pulls that down, then the other leg comes clear. Clears the leg. And he locks this up, and this is super tight as well. I mean, this was a triangle, but there was an armbar available, just like there was against Darren Elkins. As Andy falls to the side, you can see the arm is also exposed there. You know, dual attack. There's constantly a plan B, plan C. And I don't even think he necessarily knows what they are. I think some of them are automatic. You can see how he's got the hand caught underneath the armpit. Beautiful submission. Okay. Hatsu Hayoki, Peruvian Anaconda. And he had some adversity in the grappling ranges in this one. It was a lot of fun to watch this fight. I recommend you go back and watch it all. Hayoki was a handful. And as you can see here, he's on Charles Oliveira's back, which is not something we see very often. Oliveira's got a grip on his ankle, and he's going to throw that off, so he's clearing that hook. Here we go. Throws that off. At the same time as throwing that off, he's going to bring his hips square, and he's going to start driving Hatsu Hayoki into the fence, because that then nullifies this control he has over his back, and you can see Hayoki's now way too high up. So this creates a scramble where Charles Oliveira is able to get out of a bad position. Hayoki lands, turns to his knees, and then immediately he's back under pressure. And think back to the Jonathan Brookins fight. This is that same situation. The only difference is that Jonathan Brookins was sitting down while this was getting locked up. And the difference in the finish is the reason why I've put Peruvian in there. Because a Peruvian necktie, you're under an armpit and a neck of your opponent, and you throw your leg over one shoulder and their back. So you've kind of almost got a triangle position, but you're pulling the head and shoulder through your legs. It's a very awkward position, not very popular submission because it's quite easy to slip out if people are sweaty. But with this anaconda position, with this figure four position in the arms, it makes it so much deeper, and that's the step through. So the right leg goes over the back of Hatsu Hayoki. The other leg is already over the shoulder. So what we'll see from the top position, which is actually a better version than the Jonathan Brookins one, we've got the left arm of Charles Oliveira here that's gripping onto that. We've got the right arm of Charles Oliveira, which is here, which is locking that into place. And then what you can also see is a leg over one side and a leg over the other. So there's just no way out. I mean, the only thing that you can hope if you're the opponent in this situation is that Charles Oliveira's fingers are going to slip off his bicep because his arms aren't long enough. And of course, that's not going to happen. These are all positions that we see him use a lot, and he's not always had success with them. You know, I mean, he had Paul Felder locked up in a bunch of different neck attacks, and it just didn't work out for him. But with the arm length and the leverage that he's got, the majority of people he's going to be able to catch. Look at that step up. It's like he grips their body with his whole body. It's like there's nothing about his body that's not working towards this submission. Beautiful. Okay, where are we? Number 7, Nick Lentz. So, Nick Lentz and Charles Oliveira fought 3 times, and one of them is a no contest, but if we just put that one to one side, over 25 minutes, he stopped him 3 times. Okay. Nick Lentz, caught with a knee. Runs in to try and take him down. Charles Oliveira, being difficult, manages to roll through. Back to his feet, gets a tie clinch, throws a knee, and with the tie clinch, he pulls Nick Lentz's head down, so he's straight over the top. We see this a lot. We saw him doing it in the opening sort of 10 seconds against Gaethje as well, where he's like pulling him down onto a knee to go over the back of his head. Big knee over his neck. And poor old Nick Lentz here, what you'll see is Charles Oliveira gets his hands together, and then he just jumps guard. So Nick Lentz is holding him up basically on his neck. No arms in this guillotine either. It's entirely focused and wrapped on his neck. And because Charles Oliveira is pulling so hard on this, Nick Lentz feels like the smartest thing to do is to go down and forward roll through to try and alleviate some pressure. And unfortunately, that leaves him in a mount position. You can see him trying to push on the legs there, but there's no way you're getting Charles Oliveira's legs off here. And the difference between this and the guillotine I'm going to show you later is that he's got a wrap around this neck here. He's driving down with his hips and he's pulling up with his upper body. So that's the wrong arrow. He's pulling up with his upper body. So he's pulling Nick Lentz in different positions. And because he's now on the floor, he's got that ability to pinch his legs against Nick Lentz and almost deadlift him. He's able to generate a lot of force here. As I said, there's one a bit later on with Miles Jury, and you can tell me in the comments which one you'd prefer to get caught with, because I don't know which one's worse, the mounted neck-only guillotine or the standing hanging neck-only guillotine, which I'll show you in a second. Really nice finish there. And Nick Lentz is incredibly tough. You know, it's difficult to stop the guy once, let alone 3 times. Okay, here we go. Miles Jury. So this is the other one I was talking about. So we're going to see Charles Oliveira again, initiate, takes Miles Jury down, passes as he's being attacked, and takes Miles Jury's back. Lovely little transition that is. Watch at the slickness of the leg movement of Charles Oliveira. Silky smooth. Takes his back. A credit to Miles Jury. He's not submitted in this position. He's fighting these legs. He's working to see how he's stuffed that leg. He's got a hand on this leg of Charles Oliveira, and he's holding that there. His intention is to put that leg to the floor and then slide this hip over the top of it. It to an extent nullifies the back attack. Of course, you're never safe with someone like Charles Oliveira, but you can see that's what he's doing. He's holding that, and he's getting himself over that. So now Charles Oliveira's next choice is to try and take top position, which is what he does. Now, because Miles Jury is around this leg, what it does is it pitches Charles Oliveira forward, which means that he has to recalibrate his position. He has to turn to attack the neck. There. Love it. Look at that. I mean, it's just a beautiful little movement. Still got the wrap around the waist here, but then this arm is going to come over the top. Hook. Stays clamped onto him until he gets his legs underneath him. Then as he steps up, he's going to remove his right hand. And he's going to come back to his own hand to close that guillotine wrap. And then same as the Nick Lentz one. When he feels like he's got his hands together, he jumps up, clamps on. And this is what I was talking about. I honestly don't know which one's worse. But you can see why, with that curve in his spine, it makes sense why Nick Lentz rolled forward. Because you can feel yourself being pulled in that direction, right? This is an effort for Charles Oliveira to hold on to keep a wrap around this neck and have gravity pulling him down to the floor like that. It puts a lot of strain on his legs here, puts a lot of strain on that grip. But he knows he doesn't have to hold it for long to get the tap. And once he feels a bite on something like this, because he's done it so many times, he knows what a finishing move feels like. He's not going to waste an opportunity like that. He's not going to let go of a neck like that when he's got it. And, you know, worst case scenario, what, you're in his guard, or he'll drop and he'll start attacking your ankles. It's the benefit of having such a strong ground game is that you can flow from one thing to the next, and you always feel like you can end in an attacking position even if you're on the bottom. Okay, Will Brooks, number 9, standing rear naked choke. Big pickup takedown, slams him here. Little bit of embarrassment for Will Brooks as well, because he didn't want to be manhandled like this, which means that as soon as he lands, he's trying to force his way back to his feet and not doing it in the smartest way. Look, he's turning, he's going to reach, and he's going to drag Charles Oliveira over onto his back as he gets back up to his feet. And again, you know, Oliveira is an absolute assassin in this position. Hooked under the arms, so he's clamped onto Will Brooks as Will Brooks stands up. Stays clamped onto him, wrapped around his neck. And this is where we see that black belt patience and squeeze that Charles Oliveira's got, because he's here for a good while, 30 odd 40 seconds. Like, just slowly tightens this around Will Brooks's face. I mean, to the point where, I mean, you can see the pain on Will Brooks's face there. You can see he's clearly in a lot of pain. There's a lot of pressure going into his jaw, which you can see here. That's his mandible, his jawbone being driven up into the side of his head, which is not ideal. That's a hell of a squeeze. I mean, what are you going to do? Your jaw's going to break or dislocate, or you're going to pop your chin up. And the chin popping up is usually what gives the rear naked choke. But who was it that said it the other day? Might have been Gordon Ryan. Anything lower than the nose is neck. If you've got a good enough black belt squeeze like Charles Oliveira has, if you can get your arm clamped around someone's face and you can do that slow squeeze where they're going to just try and edge their face out into, oh no, let me see if I can, oh, and there it is, there's your choke. That's the idea. Or you can do it the Makhachev way where you like drag their nose up. I mean, that's another good way of doing it. But with Oliveira, once he knows he's got that position, he can start just squeezing through any kind of defense they've got. I mean, we've seen that a few times. Against Clay Guida, very similar to the Nick Lentz Miles Jury situation, but this time Clay Guida level changes from the tie clinch look. Knee comes in. There's the level change under pressure. Wrap. Always a left arm wrapping. Now, this is an arm in guillotine because he's already over the arm on the other side. He's already over this arm here, and then he's going to come over to the head. So he's wrapped around head and arm. Wrap. Clay tries to drive, and look at this footwork by Oliveira, just bouncing back enough. I mean, it reminds me of what Nate Diaz does when he's trying to create space for his guillotine. Did it to Jim Miller, did it to Melvin Gallard. Creates enough space to make sure he's got the lock tightened up, and then sits down, wraps. And this is obviously the arm in is the one on the bottom here. So Clay's really got very, very few answers for this. The only thing you could really do if you Clay to try and alleviate, I mean, you can try and fight with this hand on the arm under your chin. I don't really know what his other options are, really, to be honest. I mean, even if he brings this arm and comes inside this leg here and comes out here, then he's back into a triangle. And we do see a little... We do see a little hook and toe grab there, which we see from time to time. A bit of gamesmanship from Charles Oliveira there, just to buy him a second before he gets his legs together, and then he hooks with the other foot, look. Anyway. Okay, Christos Yagos. Lovely double leg under an attack initiation from Yagos. Oliveira takes him down, binds his legs, and pressures him to give him his back. Hops in. Straight onto his neck. And he'll pressure him, he'll strike him, and then they roll through here. Because you'll see Yagos is kind of like halfway between a mount and a back position. Charles Oliveira is pinching. He's got one knee here and then one knee up against the fence, which is there. So he's squeezing together with these knees, pinching Yagos. So no matter where he goes, he's going to be attached to him. And then we see Charles Oliveira controlling the wrist. Punch underneath, sinks the choke in as Yagos rolls through, and he wraps it in the process. I mean, he just looks like a powerful Amazonian snake in this position, I think, just taking somebody out. You know, Yagos might as well be some kind of prey animal. Jim Miller, another rear naked choke. Kick, catch, runs him up, picks him up, slams him to the floor, and then he's on his back. And again, Jim Miller, an excellent grappler, but he gets clamped, he gets tangled up. Oliveira gets an arm under his neck, and then look at this squeeze. I mean, that, I've cut a chunk out of it. You can go and see this yourself. I think there's, I don't know, 10 seconds or so I picked out here, but that's a clamp across Jim Miller's face. By the time it cuts to this next angle, you can see he's right under the chin. He's got such a bite on that rear naked choke that even when Jim Miller's able to peel that top arm off, like he does there, he's able to peel that top arm off. Charles Oliveira's still got a good enough bite where his arm is over his own shoulder, over Jim Miller's shoulder. So he's already got a hook over the back of Jim Miller anyway, which buys him an extra second to reestablish his grip. You can see Jim Miller fighting the second hand there. So look, Jim Miller's doing all the right things. He goes top hand, pulls it down, then he goes to the choking hand. And while he's attacking the choking hand, trying to alleviate the pressure, you can see Charles Oliveira using the hand that's just been peeled off. Just here, look. Ooh. Just here, look. He's pushing away to break the defense of Jim Miller. Still squeezing. So Jim Miller's still struggling to breathe, even though it's not a full rear naked choke because it's only one arm. And there we go, look. Pushes Jim Miller's left hand off the choking arm. And look where his hand is. It's already on his bicep. Bang. Bite. And, you know, Jim Miller has just defended this position the first time. The difference is the choke wasn't released between the first attempt and the second attempt. It wasn't fully on. Because Charles Oliveira had a bite over Jim Miller's shoulder, he was still able to keep some pressure on that neck, which made it difficult for Jim to get a lung full of air, get any kind of recovery, get any kind of respite in that moment, as well as being, you know, almost completely contracted, trying to fight. You know, heart rate's racing, muscles are screaming out for fuel, for oxygen. It's just a horrible position to be in, but it was the persistence of the squeeze, even with one arm, that gets Charles Oliveira to this position where he gets the tap. Okay, here we go back to anacondas. So, Taymor smacks him with an up elbow. That's the beginning of the end for Taymor. Oliveira can see his hurt. Uppercut. Now this is where the flurry comes and Taymor turns away. And the referee almost comes in and stops it. But then thinks, nah, I think he owes me money. Let him take a few more. And Tabor look, Tabor turns. He gets wrapped over the top. Same arm again, look. Left arm goes in onto the right bicep, which is where it is right now. And once he's got that locked in, look how deep that is on the back. I mean, what's Tamor going to do in this position? The only thing he can do is keep his legs away from Oliveira's so he doesn't get his body curled up and have this anaconda finished. But watch the way that Oliveira grips his body. Watch the way he just grabs something. Just keeps himself close. Look at that foot digging into his his midsection there. It's just enough to keep that squeeze on, clamped, which has already been on from when they were standing. It's already on here. He's already trying to bail out of this. You can see Tamor pushing on the elbow here. He's backing up. He's trying to get away from this choke. And Oliveira comes in, follows him to the floor, throws that top leg over and clamps into the hip. And that holds him there for long enough so he can stay with his hips curled into Tamor's head. And that's where the tap is. And you know, a part of this pressure in this position, this is a proper anaconda. Part of this pressure is Charles Oliveira moving his hips towards Tamor's hips. If Tamor moves this way with his hips, he's going to keep alleviating that pressure because it will allow him to straighten his neck. But the reason why an anaconda gets so tight is not only because you've got that figure four around, but also because this bar that's under your neck here, just like the knee bar that we saw earlier, imagine that is the same thing that's happening. You're folding the neck over the forearm that's underneath the chin. There's one more. Ooh, he thinks about it. Maybe he's telling him to stop holding the fence. I mean, he's not holding the fence for any benefit there, aside from maybe keeping himself standing. Anyway, so Tamor turns, watch this wrap, watch the left arm. There it is, searching, wrapped on the bicep, runs him to the fence, follows him to the floor, right leg comes over, hooks the arm, bites into the hip, just long enough to stay on that squeeze before the tap. Like, look at the position that Tamor's head is in. Let me see if I can draw this in. So his spine is twisted there, and then his head curves off at a weird angle. Like, you can see that pressure. So if Charles Oliveira is in front of him, like he was against Brookins or Haoki, that fold would be his head coming forward towards his hips and the bar going across. But in this position, the anaconda on the side, he's squeezing into the side of his neck, which is why it's important to be pressuring in with his body, because that's one of the things that's forcing Tamor's neck over the choking arm. Number 13. Number 14, Kevin Lee. This was a wild fight. I mean, you know, you've got 10 minutes of him just kind of tumbling and tangling around in loads of different positions. This is the best example probably of Charles Oliveira just kind of making jiu-jitsu up as he goes. Like, he had Kevin Lee in all manner of awkward positions that are you won't find in a jiu-jitsu textbook. It was just where he found himself as he was trying to maintain control. But, you know, like, what is it, 24% top position, 24% bottom position, something like that, 22, 23. He's not really bothered where he is. He doesn't really have an orientation in his mind of a preference. He just goes where he needs to go and locks onto what he needs to lock onto. Now, what was nice about this fight is he kept working Kevin Lee's midsection. He brought the leg up there. Kevin Lee throws over the top. He's going to go for another one, stab to the midsection, but this time Kevin Lee's going to grab it. And it's almost like he runs himself into the guillotine, but watch this left arm again. Look how he curves it and throws it under the neck. Under the neck. Kevin Lee's put himself deep onto that forearm. Charles Oliveira's hands together. Stays clamped on, stays tight. Keeps the back of Kevin Lee's head in his armpit, clamped up against his lat. And now as he's sitting down, what you'll notice is this leg has gone through the legs of Kevin Lee. He's not going for full guard here because Kevin Lee's on the single leg. This leg's tied up by Kevin Lee, so there's no opportunity for him to bring that leg out and throw it around to get his guard or his Peruvian anaconda, which he used against Haoki. But even so, because his grip is so tight, as he sits to the floor, he's confident that as long as he's got a grip in something, like we've got an arm free, and a leg inside, and that's Kevin Lee's neck, tangled up. The only thing that Charles Oliveira is controlling, though, is the lower body lock. He's just got the half guard, and then he's around the neck. Again, I mean, he'll figure it out. He'll make it work, because he understands the mechanics. He understands what it feels like to get a bite of someone's neck and what he needs to do to make sure that oxygen and blood stops flowing through it, basically. Okay, number 15, Dustin Poirier, who did a great job of defending his back all the way through the first and second round. But when it came to the third round, it was almost like he'd just kind of become tired of the effort that he was putting into his defences. And he was a little bit slow on this one. He lets Charles Oliveira get clamped onto one leg. Charles is going to throw over the other side. He's going to see how he's got this pry on the inside of his leg here. So he's pulling himself with that to try and get himself over the other side. He wants to be on the back of Dustin Poirier, not on one leg. This is where he hops up and the other leg goes over. So now he's in front of this left leg of Dustin Poirier. Now he's got this leg over as well as the other hook, which is coming in on the other side. Now, as the camera angle switches, what you'll notice is that he's got a grip of this wrist. So that is holding him up for the moment. He's driving off that like it's a post. So he's driving himself up with that. He's clamped on here and he's clamped on there. When Dustin Poirier realizes that this is part of Charles Oliveira's base, he then removes it, which is where you see Oliveira make the slight adjustment with his legs. See, that's where he feels like he's going to fall off. Dustin Poirier then removes his glove off the floor, which means that Charles Oliveira is even more feeling like he's going to fall off this side. But what you'll notice he does with his left leg is he gets a good grip of the hip of Dustin Poirier, and then he crosses his feet. There, look. Hooks, like he hooks on his ass cheek, and then crosses his feet. And that buys himself a moment to come back. And he's pushing now on the back of Dustin Poirier's shoulder to move himself up onto the back. You see him pushing there. And then there's the bite. And again, slow squeeze. Poirier was here for a good while trying to defend this, hand fighting, trying to peel a hand off. But even hand fighting, you're dealing with the first line, which is this. Even after stripping that top arm, the other arm is still choking you. You're not dealing with the choke initially. You've got to deal with this first layer of the figure four, just like if he was in an anaconda or if he was in a triangle. You know, you've got one leg locking the other one in. In an anaconda, you've got one hand on the other bicep and it's locked in. Same thing's going on here. Squeeze, 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 and finish. And then number 15. I love this. I love his defense for low kicks. Look how Gaethje throws into this and he just tucks it up. It's just gone. Which means that Gaethje really overthrows and almost exposes his back, which is why he's reaching this right arm out, because he knows that his back is being exposed if he overspins. If he follows that momentum through and keeps going, Charles Oliveira is on his back and then it looks pretty much like the Dustin Poirier back take that we've just seen. But he's able to throw that arm back and catch on the back of Oliveira's shoulders, which keeps him square to him. It's not particularly helpful, though, because he gets hit. Lovely right hand. And then he's clinched. And then there's the right hand that knocks him down. See, tangly, sticky, like chewing gum jiu-jitsu. Like walking down the street and getting some gum on the bottom of your best going out shoes. That's what it feels like when I'm watching Charles Oliveira. It's just like, oh, it's messy. It's, you know. And then he stays close enough. He stays tangled up long enough, looking, keeping on the back of the head here, slowing Gaethje down. As Gaethje's head pops up, bang, the right hand's there. And then Gaethje's fall into the canvas with a head full of water with one of the best jiu-jitsu players in the world coming at him. And where he positions his legs. So as Gaethje turns, he's on his back already. And this was a bit of a weird scramble here, because there was a point here where he had the option. He's already over this arm, so he's got an inverted triangle. He can attack the neck like we saw him do against Efren Escudero. He can have that arm tangled up, which removes one line of attack. As he settles back into it, he pops over this shoulder. See how this shoulder's out at the moment. As he rolls over to the other side, you'll see that shoulder disappear underneath the leg. There, look. Now that starts to look more like an inverted triangle. But Charles Oliveira knows that he's not got this, so then he starts to loop, and now he's starting to look for an armbar, which is what the danger on this arm is here. There's the arm attack there. So at any point, if Charles Oliveira feels like he needs to, he can bring the leg that's underneath Justin Gaethje's head over the top, and then he's got this arm isolated, ready to start attacking. Gaethje's been knocked down twice, but Nick been hurt twice, been knocked down once, but still very aware of what's going on. Takes a couple of shots. Now, as he starts to turn out here, the beauty of this control that Charles Oliveira shows. Where are we? See, he's trying to cinch up this inverted triangle here. You can see it, but Gaethje's doing a great job of scrambling. He's driving away with that arm, pushing this away, which is making it difficult for Charles Oliveira to maintain this control here, because of course he's pushing the foot up in this direction and kind of twisting against the lock of the legs. And as Charles Oliveira feels that, he's going to twist, he's going to push himself up, and he's going to drive into the back of Justin Gaethje here. You see Justin Gaethje turning, but this is also because Charles Oliveira is allowing that movement. He's keeping this leg on the inside, because then as he rolls over, this leg, which is currently over the chest, then becomes the first hook on the leg. Push, push, push. And there it is. And that same leg that was managing, there it is, look. It's difficult because the camera angle changed. This same leg that is managing the role of Justin Gaethje, manages the roll, slides it down under his armpit, toes into the midsection. I mean, the minor details, but that just that ability to keep that physical connection allows you to have an understanding of where your opponent's moving without physically being able to see the whole picture. It's like every limb is a second set of eyes. Hooks on, and that pulls him around the back of Gaethje, and that same leg, this same foot, in a minute is going to shoot across his hip and emerge out the other side, which becomes the body triangle. Slide off. Here we go. Foot's currently on the floor. Watch it emerge over here in a moment. There it is. Straight across the midsection. Sits back. Body triangle. And I pointed out the breakdown show. This guy's face here. He's like, what? I was feeling the same thing. It was wild. And there we go. See, look, same thing again happens, just like we saw in the Jim Miller fight. He's got to clear that top arm. He's got to clear this top hand. But even clearing that top hand doesn't really take away that pressure, because that's where the choking arm is. The choke's on. Gaethje removes that top arm, but it's still the bite. He's still there. He's still around the neck. So even if Gaethje's able to go, it's only for a half second before he reestablishes the grip. Top hand, bang, straight back. I mean, how discouraging. How discouraging. See, Jim Miller did the right thing, because he started to pull down on this and then he went straight to this wrist to start fighting that, which is why we saw Charles Oliveira kind of pushing that hand away. But unfortunately, Gaethje was, I mean, he was probably too dazed still to be thinking so quickly. Peels it and then bang, straight in. Phew. 16 submissions. Rear naked chokes, standing on the ground, anacondas, anaconda guillotines, Peruvian anacondas, or whatever you want to call it. I've made up some names, obviously, but I don't think the standard jiu-jitsu terminology really does the game of Charles Oliveira justice. Now, of course, this is submissions so far, and by the time you watch this, UFC 280 might have happened. So we'll see what happens in that. I think Islam Makhachev is going to be very difficult to submit, but with the skills that we've seen in this show, I'm sure you've realised that Charles Oliveira is not only an incredible grappler, but quite a special athlete as well. Enjoy, and I'll see you next time.